Well, good morning. Hey, it's great to see everybody here, and thank you so much for choosing Living Hope as your place of worship this morning. We are grateful for that. And he may already be calling to get one of our attention. That's awesome. We're going to be talking about messes. We're going to be talking about things that happen. And it's funny. I was telling him earlier, I was like, yeah. Better late than never, you know? Things don't always work out the way you planned. You could have long staff meetings. You could plan things out. You could try to work every details out. But you notice that sometimes life just ain't going to always work out the way that we plan. And ministry and church, and that's why we can laugh at it, because we can all relate to messes in our own life, and we can just be real about it. We don't have to be perfect about everything. And I'm seeing some people here that came to see me all the way from Mexico. How about that? These are our missionaries. Will y'all stand up real quick? Our missionaries that we are supporting. When you're looking out in the crowd and all of a sudden something happens and you're like, wait a second, I think that's my eyes. I don't know what's going on. But guys, it's great to see you guys. Thank y'all. And members and guests, thank you so much for being here today. We are coming to an end at this time in the series of Becoming a Supernatural Hero. The whole idea of being a hero should really, in a way, should make us all kind of smile. It's an exciting word. Just the whole idea of a hero is pretty exciting. Man, in fact, if you tell a kid, hey, we're going to go see this this hero movie where the Black Panther's coming out, or Aquaman's coming out later, or, hey, Troy, Wonder Woman's coming out. I mean, we get excited. We're just like, woo, we want to see it. My wife's like looking at me. But we're like, we get excited to be able to go and see those things. And, you know, kids love it, but so does adults. Adults, there's a lot of adults that get excited about just the whole idea of being a hero, or feeling like a hero, or even possibly visiting a place that has superheroes. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've never have, and I don't know if I ever will. But has anyone ever been to that whole convention, the Comic Con? Has anyone heard of that? No? Okay, well, good. I'm glad I got slides to show you. Well, Comic Con is one of the biggest conventions in the world, and it's dealing for adults to live out their fantasies, to be able to dress up and to be one of their superheroes. And we got a few of them here. There's some that people get to dress up. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, I don't know how that got there. But we get to, people like to dress up and live out their fantasy. This guy's living it up too much, but we all have our things, you know. We all have our messes. But a good superhero, or a superhero movie, never really gets old. It's always kind of fun to talk about. Like some of you, I want to be a hero. I want to be a supernatural hero, even in my own family. I want to be able to not just be ordinary. When I'm with my friends, I want to be a supernatural hero friend. And I want to be that in the church. And I want to be that in my community. I just don't want to be average. Did anyone ever just wake up and you just say, hey, today I'm just going to live an average life? I just want to be ordinary. I just want to just kind of just live, and just whatever happens. I just want to be a part of status quo. I don't mind being stagnant in my relationship with God or with people. I don't want to do that. I don't want to waste my life with meaningless things. I don't want to just settle at being an okay dad. I don't. I don't know about you men and women, but when you look at your children, do you want to have your parents or have your kids look at you in a way that says, you know what, you're just an okay dad or an okay mom? I don't want to be just an okay husband to my wife. I don't want to be averaged. I don't want to be stale. I don't want to be ordinary. I want her to look at me like she would look at a superhero with excitement. I want her to be excited that she's married to me. I don't want her to be embarrassed of me. I want to be able to be someone that she's proud of. When we go to work, I don't want to just go to work late. I want to go to work early. I don't want to just do my job. I want to do my job amazing. I want my bosses to look at me and say, "What is so different about you compared to the rest of the employees? Why are you so special?" And you give them some time to be able to think and work through those things. And then when the time comes and say, what makes you so special? Why are you so different? I love listening to Kerry's story. When Kerry goes and he does his driving, he does his job. And you know what? He could just be a driver. But you know what he does? Somehow, some way, supernaturally, people end up talking to him about the most vulnerable things. And breaks down. I don't know how many stories he's told me where people are crying and then even bringing them food for Pete's sakes, you know, and doing all sorts of stuff that he just obviously, God is working through Kerry's life. And who would have ever thought just when we go to our jobs and extraordinary things happen, I want you to think about the jobs that you go to, the ministry that you're involved with, the church that you attend. Don't just sit on the pews. There are people here each and every single day that fill up thousands upon thousands of pews and chairs around the world, but are still wearing spiritual diapers and never moving, never growing, never going deep, never longing for something more. Don't be just an average friend. Go beyond that. Be a special, supernatural friend for people. I want God to work supernaturally through each and every one of us. Is he? Is he? See, I can't answer that for you. I can only see things. But is he working supernaturally through you? Or do you even desire that? Is it as a part of your life where you wake up and say, I want something special to happen in and through me so people can see God, so people can see Christ? You know, people come to me all the time and say, you know, is God still doing miracles? He's doing miracles every day. He's working through people's life all the time. And he wants to work through us. And as we look, and as Eric shared the scripture of 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, the one thing I want you to hear is that last part. It says, for when you are weak, then you are strong. We all have weaknesses. We all have misfortunes and we have mishaps. And I talked about it last week. We all have hiccups in our lives that we struggle with. But did you know at the foundation of every single superhero or any single biblical figure that we read about, did you know at the core foundation of every single person that we read about or any superhero that we've ever gone to see, there has been pain or a mess in their lives at one time or even still as time went through. No one is exempt from it. Just like we're not exempt from it. We're going to have messes. We're going to change the mics 3 times. We're going to have things that are going to go happen in our ministries. We may deal with problems. We may end up dealing with messes and pain. Batman's parents were killed in front of him. Spider-Man was raised by his aunt after his parents were killed. Superman was sent off in some flying crazy object as a baby after his parents were killed on another planet. Iron Man, he had an unpleasable dad he could never make happy. And he was filled with pride and ego. Thor, we see his inability to reason or accept someone else's point of view. And when he's upset, he turns violent. Captain America, We see someone that is not a really a good leader. He's easily distracted, and he messes things up. They're incredible hawk. He's got anger issues. Major anger issues. He probably inherited that from his mom and his dad. The Black Panther. He can be hard-headed. He virtually trusts no one. And being vulnerable in front of others just ain't going to happen. Wonder Woman. Her mother and her friends were killed. And the list goes on and on and on. No matter what hero you go and you watch or you read about, there was always a mess or a pain that they had to deal with. And see, what makes each of them special is not that they are strong, not that they are courageous, not that they're perfect, but instead each one of them have weaknesses and messes that they have to overcome. To accomplish what? God's plan. Their battle that they had to deal with. They could stay in their cave. They could stay underground. They could do all these things and never come out. When it's time to come out, when the battle is ready to go, the apostles, the disciples, the men and women of faith, when Moses is being called out and said, I need you, and he's given every excuse why he doesn't think he should be the one to lead a nation. Why all these different things are going on with all of us when each one of us is being called out by God, we� look at our insecurities and our pain and our messes and we say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not coming out of this way. And God's saying, I need you. I need you to come out. See, supernaturally, it's your weaknesses, but see, where you are weak, then you'll be strong. Because see, the power, that same power that is in these people are going to be the same power, the supernatural power that's going to be in you today. Don't ever forget that. In real life, most of us want the super part. Most of us want the hero part, but we don't want the pain part. We don't want to deal with the mess part, right? Because oftentimes we know what pain looks like. We know what it feels like, and you know what? We push it away. And sometimes we push it away so much that it gets in the way from us doing what God's wanting us to do. Because we don't want what other people have got. We don't want to deal with what people have maybe have done or things that we've experienced. I've had kidney stones twice. And I know many of you guys have had them too. They hurt. They hurt a lot. And I will do anything I possibly can to not have kidney stones again. They tell me to stay away from this. They tell me to stay away from that. Well, I shouldn't have said I'll do anything because I still do, okay? They tell me not to drink tea. I still drink tea. But I don't want to feel that pain. I don't want to go through what you have to go through for kidney stones. So I will push the things away. I will try to not do certain things. I fear it. I pray it doesn't ever happen. And I did that the first time, and guess what? It happened again. We've had loved ones that have passed away that have died. And I don't want to experience that pain. I don't want to feel those feelings anymore. I want things to be perfect. And it's hard for me to get over those things when there's loved ones that have moved on and God has taken. It is very hard. And I know some of you guys out there are dealing with that pain. You don't want to feel it. And those insecurities that sometimes people like to poke fun of. You have any insecurities that people like that and they know about it and they poke you on it, they nudge you, they make sure that you keep living out those insecurities. They remind you of it all the time. You're like, I really don't want to go there. And they say, well, let's go there anyway. Friends do that. Spouses do that. Your kids will do that. You know, right now my insecurity is that I'm gaining weight. I don't want to go there. I really don't. So if anyone nudges me or pokes me about, hey, your weight, it kind of like makes me want to slap you. I'm just being real. It makes me want to cry, but it makes me want to slap you worse, you know? There's insecurities, and that's just the list. I mean, there's a lot more that I have. If people say, you know, your sermon was too long, or, hey, oh, you're over with? I've been asleep the whole time, you know? There was a time when I looked at my dad one time. I mean, seriously. And you know how you get really, really proud, you know, when your dad looks at you and gives you that nod? Well, I just realized he fell asleep. Don't let the dark sunglasses fool you. It's not an Italian thing, all right? He's getting a little shut eye, all right? But what about our messes, our insecurities? What about our messes? You know that we all have them, right? When I say mess, what does that look like? What does that mean to you? Well, again, I said it, your insecurities. Anyone dealing with money problems? Anybody dealing with weight issues besides me? Anybody dealing with any holding grudges? Anyone dealing with being lazy? Anyone coming up with excuses for every single thing why you shouldn't do whatever? Anyone has struggling with their faith right now? Anyone having a problem with gossip, but we use the word prayer? Anyone lying? Anyone struggling with lust and pornography? Not in the church. Anybody dealing with any drugs or addictions? Gambling? Facebook, social media, 24/7. Cheating. See, anyone dealing with some personal messes today that is zapping your supernatural powers? It's getting in the way of God wanting to work through you, but the messes keep jumping up. The insecurities, all the different things keep shining itself a little bit more, and you're seeing this in yourself. And it's tough. I want to show you, I'd like to take you to a text, and it's a very popular text, but I want to take us there. Let's go and turn to Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32. In your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third book in our Gospels. I want to talk about what Jesus wanted to talk about. See, Jesus gave a parable. He wanted to talk about a mess that actually happened. And I want you to watch the illustration. I want you to watch the parable. I want you to watch how the whole story unfolds. And I want you to see if maybe at times in your life that you can place yourself in the same mess. Because it's a great reminder for me as a pastor and as me as a Christian, as me as a messed up individual that is just trying to make it in this world at times, but the messes keep getting in the way. I wanted us to be able to see this. Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32, I'm going to read out of the New King James Version, and you can follow along in your version or up at the front. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father," not the older one, but the younger one, "said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods, give me the estate, go ahead and give me my inheritance that falls onto me.'" Usually you got to wait for someone to die first before you get an inheritance. But this guy was a little bit premature. This guy wanted to go ahead and make his way right now. He wanted to get on with his life. He basically looked at his father and said, "You're dead to me." This is where we're going right now with this story so far. "So he divided to them his livelihood, his estate." So this man, this younger boy, this was his plan. Think about it. This was a premeditated plan to go to his father. Premeditated to go to his father and say, "Give me my half right now. You're dead to me, Dad." And just in a few days, in many days, not very many days, after the younger son gathered all together, after he got all of his stuff, he journeyed to a far country, saying, "I don't plan on coming back. I'm going far away enough where I don't even need to have you in my life, Father." Hold on to this whole idea of Father and Jesus. "To a far country. and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Your version may say wild living. And you can only imagine what that wild living looks like. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. Starvation was going all over the land. And he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the pigs, the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods, with the food, with the trash, basically, that the pigs would eat. But no one even gave him anything. Plan number two, premeditation. Watch this. But when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, your text may say, you know, sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes it takes us a while to get to our senses. Sometimes we are so out of our senses, we're so selfish, we're so into ourselves that we're not even considering thinking about other people. We're so into me. The me-isms. It's all about me. It's all what I'm going to get out of this thing. But he went and he came to himself. He came to his senses and he said in verse 17, how many of my father's hired servants have bread and enough and to spare? And here I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will stay to him and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's because he disowned his father. Make me like one of your hired servants. And verse 20, watch what happens. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him walking down this path and had compassion. And even though the boy was probably coming humbly, downcast, scared, the father looks up and waiting for him. And he's not walking towards him. What is he doing? He's running towards his son. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. This is the father doing this, not the son. The father. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and his sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let us have a party, for this is my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, yet now he's found. And they began to be merry. They began to celebrate. They began to party. They began to come back and renew and have restoration back into the family. And it was all basically the father's doing, pursuing in love and forgiveness and grace. Imagine the son not even knowing what to do with all of that, never expecting that would be the result of the father. And now his older son was in the field, his older son, watch this. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He's like, what in the world is going on? So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. And watch what happens with the older son. See if we can relate to this part too. But he was angry. Another word, he was jealous. Another word, he was envious. Another word, he was prideful. And would go and would not go in. Therefore the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, he replied, these many years I have been serving you. I've never refused. I've never transgressed. I've never sinned. I've never went against your commandments at any time. And yet you have never given me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Jesus. What are you thinking? Because this is really Jesus Christ, right? Jesus, what are you thinking? And he said to him, Son, and he said to him, Troy, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother also, Troy, was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. I don't mind putting myself in both of those situations because I'm there all the time. It's a great picture, illustration of Jesus Christ in our daily messes, in our rebellion. See, the thing is that we all got free will. We can all choose how we want to live. We get to choose how we want to live. We can either follow in obedience or we can reject him and go our own way. We can take our inheritance of eternal life or abundant life, but we can still go and squander it and live however we feel like we want to live. But look at the result of what happened. This son realized in his shame and in his guilt and his rebellion, the only place he wanted to be was where? At home with his father. See, this is the outside stuff that we deal with. These are the messes, but did you know that we are also dealing with our inner soul messes too? This is the stuff that's not the outward stuff. Let's talk about the in stuff, the inner soul stuff. See, the outward stuff is the stuff that we get to see about other people, okay? And we can try to be, we can be pretty good about that. I'm not going to do that in front of those people. But the inner stuff, the stuff that no one's going to know about, it's just me and my brain, and I'll never tell my parents, and I'll never tell my spouse, and I'll never tell my kids, and I'll never tell my parents, and I'll never tell my friend, and I'll never tell my pastor, and I'm never going to tell God about it. It's just me. And these are the things that we think about, our messes that we're dealing with each and every day. How many of you guys think about messy things internally in your own life that you would never share out loud? You would never be willing to be vulnerable. I drive to church all the time, and I don't know if you know this, but there's always a bunch of people that ride bikes. Ever seen these bicycles, you know, people that are going? Here on Lyons Road, people all the time are riding bikes. And I'm trying to get to church to go to work. And I'm at the very back. And you know what's going through my mind? The same thing's going through your mind right now. What if, as I'm going 7 miles an hour, what would it look like if I just tapped the last one? I wonder how many of those things I could make fall. That's sick, isn't it? When I was a youth pastor, 22 years of youth ministry, thousands of kids I've worked with, I loved them all. There were a lot that needed Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, when those parents gave over their kids to me to go to camp or on a mission trip, and those kids bothered me really bad, and I was thinking, hey, we're going rappelling. There was times I was thinking, just drop that rope. When we were in the pool and we were playing chicken, and one was on top of my neck or I was on top of them, there was times I said, there was an accidental drowning. When we stopped to get gas or at Six Flags, there was times I wanted to drive off. And then you like kind of snap out of it. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Has anyone ever dealt with those inner things? It's messy, isn't it? Spiritually, guys, do y'all deal with the inner stuff spiritually with you? How many of you guys are still making deals with God right now? Don't have to raise your hand. Anyone making deals with God? Or God, if you get me through this particular one, I swear to you, I will never do that again. I promise you, I will go to church. I'll go to Equipping the Saints. I'll hit Sunday school. I'll even forget about the cafe time. Go straight in 10 minutes early. Make sure I even clean up a little bit around the church. I will make sure that I'm doing all these things. I'll put in overtime. I'll pray 3 times. And we start making deals with God with things, inner spiritual things that you're saying, if you get me through this, or if you don't make that happen, or if you allow this to happen, or if God, if you'll bless me with this $1 million, I promise you I'll tithe $100,000 to Living Hope. And we say things that we would never say in front of other people, but inwardly we're dealing and wrestling with things with God. I promise you, God, I will forgive that person. And then you see that person, you're like, no, I hate them. I can't do it. We keep the grudge, we keep the pride, and we keep the games going with God. What type of games are we playing with God right now? Inwardly, that no one's going to ever know about except for God. He says, you know what? I want to deal with that mess. I want to deal with it. See, supernatural heroes in the Bible were not exempt from this type of pain or messes. And this is why Jesus shared this parable. This is why he made sure that he saw, that we see real life. This is 2,000 years old and we're still living out the rebellion the same way. Romans 7:15 and 18, Paul says it this way. He's dealing with his own eternal mess. I don't really understand myself. For what I want to do is right, but I don't do it. Everybody with me on that? I do what I hate. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Amen? Yeah, we deal with those things. Paul was not exempt from that. He's perfectly describing his life, and he's perfectly describing our lives. The inconsistency, the imperfections, the sin, the lack of faith, and playing havoc in our soul and the games that we play. See, the Bible is filled with messy heroes. The flaws of men and women all throughout the Bible. And you want to know what? God did not omit. God did not take out. God did not say, no, we're not going to talk about this. You know who does that? Pastors, teachers, deacons, Christians in general say, no, I will omit that from my life. I will not take out. I'm the one that's going to edit that. I'm the one that's going to leave it out. I'm the one that's going to omit it. I am not going to allow people to see my mess and my pain at all. Why? Because we don't want judgment on us. We don't want to be fired. We don't want to be shamed. We don't want to end up dealing with embarrassment. We don't want to look like we don't have it all together. You know what? What I'm finding out, we would rather look more self-righteous than being self-vulnerable. We'll go to self-righteous any day because that's going to look a lot better than self-vulnerable. Because anytime we go self-vulnerable, we got all those things that people may end up judging us and say, oh man, you're too messy for me. That's way too time consuming for me. Oh my goodness, if I hang out with you, then they're going to classify me. You got the whole leprosy sin thing going on over here. You're contagious with your problems. Noah was a huge pillar of faith. He built the ark. He was willing to take on persecution. He was hardworking. He was obedient. I mean, he lived it out. And God wiped out the whole world because of who Noah was. He said, I'm here. You put your family, you put the animals on this ark, and I'm going to protect you because he was so obedient. 4 different times, God asked him to do things. And he did it. Over 1 year on the ark. He builds the ark for 120 years. He's a great man of faith. He's a hero. He's a supernatural hero. You're not going to find this in any of the children's books down there because they're not going to read it. Genesis 9, 18 through 23. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. And these three were the sons of Noah. And from these the whole earth was populated. Verse 20, and Noah began to be a farmer. He gets done. He decides to be this great farmer. And he planted his vineyard. And then all of a sudden something begins to happen. Verse 21, and then he drank of the wine. And then he got himself drunk. And then he became uncovered. He went naked in his tent. And Ham and the father of Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took the garment, laid it on both sides of their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of the father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. And so on and so forth. What I love about Scripture is that he didn't omit the mess. He didn't delete the mess. It got messy with Noah. It got messy with David. A man after God's own heart does what he does and sins and so on and so forth. The list goes on and on with each and every single one of them, and no one was exempt. And you know what? The Bible tells their messes as well. And you know what? We should be willing to tell our messes. We should be willing to be transparent about things that are going on in our life, because when we are weak, then God is what? And he's strong in us. His supernatural power will come through us and help us. The disciples were not just apostles. They were also the three stooges, the 12 stooges. They did so many things that were crazy. In Luke 9, 46, an argument started among the disciples to which one was the greatest. Matthew 26 talks about in 15, Judas, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to Jesus? 33, Peter said, I will never fall away on account of you. I never will. 43, Jesus says he came and found them asleep. Not just one time, but several times they're asleep. They can't stay awake for anything after Jesus asked them. Verse 51, and suddenly one of the disciples who are with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the soldier of the high priest and cut off his ear. These people spent time with Jesus. And here we see the messes that come out. You can't be an everyday supernatural hero unless you come to grips with your everyday mess and pain. We got to be willing to fight our messes. We got to be willing to come clean. 1 Corinthians 5:19, I'm coming to an end here. For I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. After the way that I persecuted God's church, here Paul's talking about where he stands with his mess. But whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out what? His special favor on me. Yes, it was not I. And not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. He gets a little cocky here. Yes, it was not I, but God who worked through me by his grace. We all deal with messes. Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh as well. Can I just remind you that we all have a thorn in the flesh? No one knows what that thorn is, just like I don't know what yours is. But God does. Maybe your thorn is something dealing with spiritually. Maybe it's some type of physical. Maybe it's a little bit of both. And three times we see that he's going to ask for it. 2 Corinthians 12:18, it says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in what, guys? In weakness. So now I am glad to boast. Now I am glad to be vulnerable about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness. For what, guys? For when I am weak, then what? Then I am strong. I want to close with this. And it's just something for you to walk away with today. Is it possible that the weakness, the thorn, the pain, the affliction, your mess that you are enduring could just be possible, could possibly be something truly endearing to the Lord? Is it possible, your pain, your mess, your affliction, your thorn, that you're enduring right now, could it be something that God looks at and says that this is endearing to me? For when I am a mess, then I am at his mercy. And his power works best in my weakness. I want you to leave here today not discouraged, but encouraged. That God already knows your weaknesses and the pain and your messes. I think he wants us to be willing to be vulnerable a little bit. So we don't think that we're all alone. This is why I don't mind sharing things from the pulpit about mine, because, guys, we are all here. We are all together in this thing. There is no one except Jesus Christ at all that's above. We're all working through this thing together. Let's help each other with our weaknesses. Let's pray for each other through our weaknesses. Let's be vulnerable with our weaknesses. Let's help each other. Let's not worry about being contagious. Let's not worry about being self-righteous and overcompensated. Let's just come to God just the way we are, real and genuine, and let's watch his power take off. Okay? Let's pray. Father, this is your time, a time for us just to acknowledge where we are with you. For when I am weak, then I am strong through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.